praise God. He will come as a thief in the night. A lot of men and people will be busy doing their thing, doing what they want to do, and they will miss the coming of the Lord. Praise God. I don't want to get caught up in the things of this world. I'm telling you, it won't be worth it. It will not be worth it, church, for us to get caught up in the things of this world. And yet we miss the coming of the Lord. Amen.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank God.
Right. Amen. Praise God. Everybody looks tired. No? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I hope that you can make it through. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I'll put my all in the next little bit if you'll put all yours in. Amen. That's a fair deal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Can't beat that. Amen. Proverbs, please. You'll stand. Take your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Proverbs, chapter 2. I want to talk a little bit this evening about the fear of God. The fear of God. What actually it is. Some promises that we have when we fear Him. Some things that will help us, I believe, this evening. Amen. Proverbs chapter 2, please, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and findeth knowledge of God. Amen. Now verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Yeah. He tells us some things that we have to do on our part. We got to incline our ear unto wisdom, apply our heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, and lift up our voice for understanding. If we'll seek after it as it is something of value. In verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for a hid treasure. In other words, if you really want it, if you really want this, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You say amen to God's word?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I believe when a child of God has lived their life in the fear of God, that they have really found the keys to living a life that is pleasing unto God, an instrumental life. And I believe, as the Scripture talks about here, that they will also will increase in knowledge and understanding, that they'll have a better understanding of God and who He is. But they have to live, as He tells us, that when we do these things and we search after them, that we will understand the fear of the Lord and we will find the knowledge of God. But what the problem is what happens is a lot of people do not understand what actual fear or fearing God is. A lot of people are sometimes confused over that. They say they fear God and don't really understand what that fear is. It's not something that we are afraid of God's, that we're scared of God in this sense that He is something that is of evil or anything of that. It's not that. It's not in no way that shape or form. But it's not a fear that a lot of times, you know, you can have a dog, you know, when you go up to a person's house and they've got a fence around their property and they got some dogs inside that fence. And those dogs don't look too friendly. Right. You know, you're scared to go in there. You're scared to go in there and into that yard because of these dogs. You don't know what these dogs will do. Well, in fear, having the fear of the Lord, it's not so much that either, that we are afraid to go into the Lord to have communion with Him if we are living right. Now, when man is not living right, they will have fear. They will have this kind of fear of a scared fear. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, that they won't come on the church property, they won't come into the church house or something. Talking about people who are not living right because of they are scared of God. They know they have not been living right. They know they have not been doing right. So they're afraid that the judgment of God will fall on them or something will happen to them. It's that kind of fear that man has. But for the Christian, we don't have that kind of fear. We are to have, as the Scripture tells us, we are to have a godly fear. A godly fear is the kind of fear that we are to have. And Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to go over there with me in verse 28 and look at this verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. He says, "Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear." Notice this, with reverence and with godly fear. This is the kind of fear we are to have. It is to be a godly fear. It is a not a worldly sense or a scared sense of God, but we are to have a godly fear. We know who God is. The Bible tells us in that next verse, "For our God is a consuming fire." What we must do is we must submit ourselves to the fear of God and serve Him with reverence and godly fear, as He tells us. And when we do that, we'll have a lot of promises. We have a lot of blessings that the Scripture tells us in His Word. And I want to look at some of these promises and some of these blessings and try to also give maybe a little more better understanding of godly fear and what it is. And maybe it'll help us this evening if you'll stay with us a little bit. And I believe God has something He wants to say to us this evening. And I believe God's Word can touch us, even when we are tired, even when we are kind of weary. I believe God can help us and God can give us that strength that we need. And I want to look at some more of the definition of what godly fear is. We don't need the worldly fear. We must have the godly fear. Just as Brother Ross talked about Sunday, we must have godly sorrow. Not what the world thinks of repentance or sorrow is. We must live and we must have this repentance according to what God says it is and what we must do on that part. Also, with godly fear, we must have this kind of fear according to God's Word. Now go with me. We're going to be looking at several verses of Scripture. I'm going to be in Psalms some. Psalms chapter 103 or Psalm, not chapter, but letter or song 103. If you'll notice there, he talks about some of this godly fear. Psalms 103, verse 13. Psalms 103, verse 13, he says, "Like as a father pitieth his child," or children, "so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." Yeah. Notice that. As that father will pitieth that child, his children, so the Lord will do that same thing for those that fear Him. Now, you know, we may not quite understand what this word pitieth means here. We might not quite, we kind of maybe have a worldly thought of what it means here, kind of worldly mindset of what this world mean, this word mean. But this word here, and when you look it up, it means to comfort. It talks about the comforts. Just like a father will comfort his children, so the Lord will comfort them that fear Him. You know, we talk about, I pity that person, you know, kind of like, I feel sorry for that person, you know. Maybe he's doing something or going through something. We may say, I pity that person. I pity him, you know, what he's fixing to get into or what's fixing to happen to him. But that's not what God's Word is trying to tell us here. He's trying to compare a father that will comfort his children. A true father, when a child is in turmoil, when a child is hurt, when a child is scared, whatever the situation may be, that father will try to take that young child and he will try to comfort him. You'll try to cover him. You'll try to calm that child down. You'll try to give that child a sense of security. That everything's okay. Everything's all right. You know, maybe when a child gets separated from its parents or its father, and it may be just wandered off a little bit, fear will come and grip that child. You know, you look around, and his parents were right there, and now they're not. And for a little child, a 3-4-year-old child or something, when that happens, automatic fear comes.
Yeah.
They don't have that security no more. Their parent is not there, and a fear will grip that heart. The longer it lasts, you know, they're going to end up just being terrified when that happens. And what happens here is because the security of that father has left them. But when that child finds its parents, or the parents find the child, that sense of comfort comes. That father will take that child and will comfort him and tell him, you know, everything's okay, everything's all right. Or when that child is in a dangerous situation and that father comes and gets them out of that situation, maybe that child went in the yard and had a bad dog, and you know, that dog is after them, you know. That father, if he's a true father, a real father, he's going to go in there and he's going to try to protect his child.
Yeah, that's right.
I know many times when I was growing up, you know, just with my dad and stuff, he would always do something. If it was something that we'd be working on or something, might be something of danger, he'd always, when we was little, he'd always do it himself. Just because of that protection of that child. And things. I was raised around livestock, and sometimes you have some that are not so nice. Sometimes they can be a little mean. And I was been around them. I remember some times that we had some a couple Brahma bulls, and they got together. We was going to load them up to sell. We got them in the corral, and they tore that place all apart fighting. And my dad would be the one that would go and try to go in there and try to do things, and he would not want us to get into a dangerous situation if we could avoid it. He would be the one that would do that. And that's just, to me, is the natural thing for a father. When his child is there, he'll go first. He'll do this first. He'll try to protect them first. And he'll be the one that will try to go in that dangerous situation. And I believe that what we find here in this passage is that when we will fear God, he tells us here, he says, like a father that will cover his children, the Lord will cover them that fear him. We are in an hour, church. It is a lot of chaos. I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. It's turmoil. The song they sang just a little bit ago, it is a non-ending story. A non-ending story. Something going wrong. Something's happened. Something's taking place. And it's just a 24-hour thing around the clock. You'll hear about it. This person got shot. This person got killed. And it puts a lot of fear in people. And I'm telling you, it's not until people turn their hearts back to God, it's not going to get any better. It'll get worse. And what we have is we have a lot of people who are in turmoil. We have a lot of people. And I'm telling you, we do not, as Christians, we do not need to let that slip into our lives. We do not need to let that fear come into our lives in this sense.
Right.
What we have is, as the Scripture tells us, God will comfort those who fear Him.
Yes.
Who fear Him. Just as our earthly father would comfort their children,
right,
when they are in a dangerous or turmoil situation. So I find here that what we must do, church, is what is a working definition of the fear of God is as the Scripture gives us an example here, is it's like a father that comforts his children, the Lord will comfort those also that fear Him. We find that God protects those who live in His fear.
Right.
Just as that father, earthly father, protects his children, our Heavenly Father will protect His children that fear Him, that have a fear for Him. And we find that we have this protection. We find that we also just have an ultimate compassion that God gives to us. God gives us everything to us. He gives us salvation. He's given us life, church. He takes care of us. He provides for us. He does that for His children that fear Him.
Amen.
Our earthly fathers protect us. They provide for us. They take care of us. Because we're their children. And our Heavenly Father will do the same thing for those that fear Him. Don't let circumstances or things, turmoil, come in. Fear comes and grips us. And we don't know what to do. Fear God. Reverence God.
Yes.
And He will take care of His children.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What we must do, church, go with me into a familiar passage in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. I just want to read this again. Read it this afternoon. It's just a lot of times we just forget about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Sermon on the Mount. Notice here, Matthew 6, 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?
Right.
My earthly father had limitations on what he could do.
Yeah.
Physically, financially, whatever it may be. He had limitations. But my heavenly Father has no limitations, church, on what He can do for His children.
Amen.
He doesn't have to go try to borrow something to provide for us. He doesn't have to go try to see if He can sell something to take care of us. The Scripture tells us He takes care of the fowls of the air. They sow not, they reap not, they don't gather into the barns, but the heavenly Father feedeth them. How much more will He do for us, church?
Right.
Verse 30, go down to verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Right.
Praise God.
That's right. Amen, brother.
It's not just about our attire here. It's not just about our clothing that He'll provide for us.
Right.
If you will look in that verse, in verse 30, he talks about he clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven. Shall he not much more? Notice that word clothed there, it's italics, it's been added in. Shall he not much more you provide for you? O ye of little faith. Those who, when we fear God, church, it brings comfort to us. Brings comfort to us.
Right.
Why is a lot of people that call themselves Christian are in turmoil? They don't know which way to go. They don't know what to do. It's because they have not lived right. And they know they have not lived right. They have not feared God. They have not lived according to God's Word. And when a problem comes in, they don't know what to do about it. They're going to turn to God who they have not lived right and have rejected. No, they know they can't do that. So fear grips them. But for the child of God who is living according to His Word, we have comfort. Because we have feared God. Also, the fear of God is to hate what He hates. Go back over with me into Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Notice here, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and an evil way, and a forward mouth do I hate. For us to say, I fear God, to have this reverence for God that we must have, it is to say that I hate the things that God hates. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Yeah.
It's that for us to hate the things that God hates. And a lot of times, church, we may not participate in those things, but do we really have a hatred for them? Does it really disturb us? Do we really get tired of seeing these things and have a hatred for it? Sometimes we just tolerate it. Sometimes we just go along and maybe not participate in it. But sometimes we wish we could. That's not having the fear of the Lord. Right. Have the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We must, church, have a lifestyle according to God's Word. And the things that He hates, we must hate. Amen. We must have the right attitudes. We must have the right actions, church. For the things that God hates, we must hate also. And a lot of times, you know, I believe we're in an hour that Satan has just kind of got us used to these things. Because it's everywhere. We see them everywhere. And what we need to do is we need to despise the things that God hates and love righteousness, church. Amen. And that is, to me, is the fear of the Lord. Yeah. You can't say I fear God if you do not hate evil. That would be contrary to Scripture. Right. Sins like things that we see must things of this world, and sin according to what God calls sin must never be named among the brethren, church. Must never be named among the church. Amen. But what has happened is slipped into the church because men do not fear God. Right. Men do not fear Him. Yeah. I believe when man fears God, when a minister fears God, he will preach against sin. Right. He will cry out against sin.
Right. Amen.
We've had even gotten to the place a lot of times with our children, we tolerate their sins.
Right. Go ahead, brother.
And we can't do that, church. We must name what's wrong. A lot of times we get to the point that we're afraid we'll hurt their feelings or we'll just upset them. It's time that people get their feelings hurt. It's time that people get upset.
Right. Amen.
This thing's winding down, church. Jesus is soon to come.
Amen.
And it's time that we let people know that this is sin.
Right.
God hates it. You will not enter into heaven and participate in sin. God does not tolerate sin. He paid a price. A great price, as it was spoken. So sin could be done away with in our lives. Not for us to continue in sin. We must fear God. For us to fear God is to say that we hate evil, church. So we hate the things. And I'm telling you, it's time. We don't overlook it, church. We don't need to turn our heads the other direction.
Right.
We don't need to just water it down. It's time that we cry out against what sin is. As Brother Woods preached in our tent meeting, as some of the things that have been putting on the sign, sinners is an enemy of God's.
Right.
The Bible talks about this. Christ, or Paul, even in the New Testament, he referred to them as adulterers and adulteresses because they loved the world. And what they were doing is they're cheating on God.
Right.
And God despises that.
Right.
And we must hate sin, church.
Yes.
We have the promises that when we fear God, our days will be lengthened.
Yeah.
In Proverbs chapter 10, you go over there, a couple chapters over. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. He says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened."
Yeah. Right.
I'm telling you, when you hate sin, that is good, clean living.
Right.
It's healthy living.
Right.
It is healthy living, church.
Amen.
When we are not putting things into our bodies that it was not made for, our bodies wasn't made for.
Right.
When we are not watching and seeing things and it goes into our minds.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
It gives us that peace and we have good long days. I'm telling you, as the Scripture tells us, it prolongs our lives, as He says in the Proverbs here. It lengthens our days. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. But those of the wicked, He tells us, it shall be shortened. Man cannot keep living and doing stuff to their bodies that it wasn't made for.
Right.
It destroys it.
Yes.
It breaks it down. It eats the brain away. It destroys the body. It destroys it. To me, that is one reason why our health care system is in such a mess in this country. It's because of sin. It's because what man is doing to their bodies. I remember one time when I drove a truck, and our company provided some insurance, health insurance, and I remember it kept going up. Because what they were doing is they was taking that company, and I don't know exactly the terms for it, but they was rating on the age and the health of those men that worked for that company. And then that's how they determined the price that we had to pay. Well, most of you may know, I'm not saying anything against it so much, but a lot of truck drivers ain't in the best shape. They chain smoke, and they don't do much exercising. And they go without sleep a lot. And a lot of them put stuff in their bodies to keep them awake. And a lot of them had heart attacks, and a lot of them were not in good physical condition. And I said, that's not right. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do those things. Why should I have to pay a higher price? Because of what they're doing. And that, to me, that's one of the situations I believe that our country is in with the health care. It's because men are doing things to their bodies and because of sin, and it's destroying the body, and those who want to live righteous have to pay for it. To me, that's unfair. I'm off on another trail. Let me get back. The fear of God. The fear of God gives us length, church, of days.
Yeah.
Prolongs. Amen. I'm telling you, the way God designed this body and the way He told us to live according to His Word and how we are to treat this body, it's a perfect way.
Yes.
It is a perfect way. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Living in God's fear keeps us from the world. Yeah. Amen. The fear of God also goes on into eternity, forever and ever. When a man fears God, he's going to live right. And when a man lives right, he's going to make heaven.
Right.
And I'm telling you, he's going to live forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
So I think there's two parts to this verse. I don't want to take it out of context. But I believe he'll give you good, healthy life here on this earth. And also we have eternal life. Amen? That we'll live forever and ever. But the wicked are not so. They destroy their bodies here on this earth.
Right.
And they also will have a eternal death.
Right.
Forever and ever and ever. Where the worm dieth not.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God. Good godly living, church, is the best way. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
I ought to put a smile on your face. Amen. It's good.
Go ahead, bro.
Praise God.
Yeah.
It's peaceful. Amen.
Right.
It's healthy.
Yes.
Amen. It's comfort, as the sister talked about. We still got to face some things, but we have the Holy Ghost to comfort us.
Right.
What more do we want? Amen. Praise God. If death comes, we'll be in the presence of God.
Right.
Amen. What more could we ask for? Amen. So the fear of God gives us, it gives us so much, church. Praise God. Go with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We read this verse quite often. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I believe that having the fear of God just puts a protection over us. It helps us. And it gives us good Christian growth. We can grow in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me back up and read. Excuse me, back up to verse 17. It all flows together. Wherefore come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What happens when a man fears God? He will have spiritual growth. He will mature spiritually. Because what he's going to do is he's going to continue to grow in the Lord. And as he grows in the Lord spiritually, he's going to start drawing closer to God. And God's going to start molding him and shaping him. And some changes are going to be made in his life. And he's going to grow up in the Lord's.
Yeah.
It's a sanctifying process. There's a sanctification that comes and delivers us and sets this body free from the bondage. But I believe also there is a type of sanctification that we have every day. We grow in the Lord's. Uh-huh. We mature spiritually. The Lord deals with us about things. And He tells us that this is what we must do. He says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God starts telling us, you don't need to do this no more.
Right.
You don't need to go here no more. You don't need to look at this no more.
Right.
You need to do more of this and less of that. Amen? Does God do that with you?
Yeah.
That's those who fear God. If God is not dealing with you about things in your life, then maybe you don't have the right fear.
Because
He tells us that this is what we must do. Paul is instructing us that this is what we do, church. Let us, He tells us, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Fearing God is a maturing process. We grow.
Yes.
That's why you see people who are not maturing spiritually. They're dying spiritually. Because there's no fear of God. When a man has a fear of God, he's going to want to draw closer to Him. And when we draw closer to God, He is going to start dealing with us about things. We must strip off. I use this word, I'm not referring to the sin nature or anything, but We strip off a lot of that, I don't have a lack of words, some of that old nature, some of that old ways.
Yeah.
I put it that way.
Yeah.
We start dealing with some of those things. God saves us and sets us free, and He starts dealing with us the things. And we must start stripping some of that stuff off.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Praise God. Still with me?
Amen.
Amen. And the new man, he begins to mold Him. Shape Him. Amen? And we become something of value and useful to our God. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these... Let me back up so we get all the verses. Go back to verse 20. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Amen?
Yeah.
What the Lord starts doing, He begins to mold us and shape us in this. We start doing things that are now pleasing to Him. And He tells us that He purges Himself from these things. You know, in a house, whether you want to refer to it as the house of God, or if you just want to take the natural house, you have vessels of gold and of silver that you people put in the china cabinets. They put them up. You know, those are things you look at them. You don't use them, you look at them. Amen? You know what I mean? And I was thinking about when I was reading this verse, it's my parents, they didn't really... What we had, we used. Amen? If I put it that way. We didn't have those dishes you'd look at. But, so what we have here in a house is, you know, people have more of the finer things that they don't use, or they may use them on a special occasions and things like that. He also talks about there's wood and earth and things of the are more common things that we use in this in our homes and things. You know, you're not going to take your old frying cast iron frying pan and display it.
Right.
You're going to cook you some potatoes in it and fry you some eggs and stuff like that in it. You know, you're going to use it.
Right.
You're going to use it. What he's referring to, you know, in the house, there, in everybody's house, there's things that are more valuable than other things.
Right.
And he tells us here is what we must do is we must purge himself from these. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. God doesn't need vessels that are just hanging in a china cabinet.
Right.
He needs some vessels that He can use.
Right. Amen.
There are some value to Him.
Yes.
So He's talking about that we must prepare ourselves. There's a lot you can preach on these verses. I understand. I'm just kind of skimming the very basics of it here. We must prepare ourselves. We need to be vessels of honor.
Yes.
Meet for the master's use, church. And when a man fears God, God is going to start. He's going to start sanctifying himself. He's going to start doing things. He's going to start preparing that vessel. He's going to start working that clay, and He's going to start making him into a vessel that He can use. That's our God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Scripture tells us in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. It's a familiar passage. We read quite often. John chapter 15 verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruits, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruits, He purges it.
Yeah.
That it may bring forth more fruits.
Yes.
More fruits. A man who fears God, he's going to grow in the Lord. The Lord's going to start trimming him up.
Yeah.
He's going to start shaping him up.
Amen.
He's going to start getting some of those limbs and some of those suckers and some of that stuff off of you, out of you, that it's of no value, it's a hindrance, and He's going to make you into a tree, into a vessel that He can use and that will produce more fruits.
Yeah.
Amen. We're at an hour, church, that we don't need any hindrances.
Right. Amen.
We don't need none of these hindrances.
Right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
It's time, as the Scripture tells us, to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. It's time to do away with things that are slowing us down.
Right.
We're not in practice no more. We're in the real thing, church. When they was in practice, they will put weights on the ankles.
Yeah.
They will put things on to make them heavier. They'll even put those little parachutes behind them, the joggers, the runners, so the wind catches. To slow them down, to make it harder for them to run. It's time that we lay aside some of these things, church, so we can run this race, church.
Amen.
We're winding down. We're winding down, church.
Right.
The coming of the Lord is soon. We don't know what will take place in the future. If Jesus tarries, we must be prepared.
Right.
Fear God.
Yes.
Amen. Fearing God is a maturing process. We grow.
Mm-hmm.
We strip off those things that are a hindrance. We put on what we need to put on that we can grow in the Lord. Praise God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God help us, church. Amen, amen. James chapter 4. Draw nigh. Simple passage. Read it all the time. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. These are things that we are to do. We submit ourselves to God. We resist the devil. He flees from us. We draw nigh to God.
Right.
He draws nigh to you.
Yes.
Do you really want to draw closer to God? Do you really want to draw closer to God? You're going to have to do what this passage says. You're going to have to cleanse your hands. There's going to be some changes. There's going to be some changes. You're going to have to do some cleaning. You're going to have to purify your heart. You can't be tossed to and fro by everyone in doctrine. You're going to have to be settled in this thing. You're going to have to grow. You're going to have to mature in the Lord. Amen. And He gives us that promise that He will draw nigh to us. Amen. Praise God. God, help us, church. Help us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes, man.
Oh, I wish I could really hit that some more. It's time we lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. In each one of our lives, that could be at something different. A lot of us probably know what those things are. And what we have to do is we're going to have to lay them aside, church. We are going to have to lay them aside.
Yes.
Praise God. God wants to do a work, but when there's hindrances, He cannot do it. Amen? Praise God.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If we are going to be people who fear God, there's going to have to be unity, church.
Yeah.
There's going to have to be unity. When people fear God, church, it will bring a unity. It will bring people together. We'll all be on the same page, if I could be it that way, put it that way. It will bring that unity so God can work.
Right.
But when there is not unity in the church, there's a lack of fear.
Right.
The Bible tells us, submit yourselves one to another. That means you give yourselves to that person, one to another. You help that person. You do these things for that person. You do what you can, and we do these things in the church. It was talked about. We bind together. When people have problems, we do what we can. We must have this church, this hour, because we have a world that is tearing each other down, and it does not belong in the church. So when we fear God, it is also a way that will keep us in that unity. We'll be concerned one for another. We'll help bear one another's burdens. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is a part of submitting yourself one to another. Amen. You are going to be looking on every man, not his own things, but every man will be looking on the things of others. You will be observing that this person is in need here, and it's something you can do to help. This person needs something. This person needs some help with this. You'll be observing. Is that not what it is? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Amen.
You can't do that if you don't have the fear of God.
Amen.
Because a person who is lacking the fear of God will be self-centered.
Amen.
They will be concerned about their own.
Sure will.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
But a man who fears God, he'll be concerned about others. So he'll keep us in that unity. We'll have that concern one for another. It'll keep peace. It'll simply keep peace among us. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14 tells us, follow peace with all men and holiness, without no man shall see the Lord.
Right.
Praise God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Yes.
Follow peace with all men and holiness. When a man has to fear God, it will keep that peace in the church. You know, we're living in an hour that a lot of people just like to stir up problems. Amen? You have that person in your workplace that just likes to keep things stirred. You ever had anybody like that? Might even be in your family. You know? Just likes to keep chaos in the family. Just likes to keep things stirred up. We don't have to be that mindset. We have to be those who follow peace. And we do what we can to keep the peace.
Right.
Amen. Follow peace with all men. And also it will maintain our fellowship with God. We will fear. When a man fears God, he will fear to sin.
Yes.
When a man has a reverence for God, that kind of fear, he will have the kind of fear that he will not want to sin against God.
Right.
Amen? You see what I'm saying? Because he has the reverence for God, he will not want to sin. Amen.
Right.
Praise God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. We know that sin, and I already mentioned some of this, destroys the body. We know that God is able. Brother Ross, my father-in-law, quotes this scripture quite often in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and tells us, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." When a man has a godly fear, a reverence fear for God, he will have this fear in him, have this kind of fear towards God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And this is a good scripture you need to have for when you come across people who say, God don't send people to hell. God's love. God don't do that. Everybody's going to heaven. Christ Himself said, "You don't fear man that can destroy just the body, but you fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Amen? So a real fear have in this hour, the man who fears God, they're not going to go out there and just sin. They don't want to sin.
Right.
Our God is a compassionate and merciful God. But He's also a consuming fire.
Right.
He will not tolerate sin.
Right.
We know it also. We don't want to fall into the hands of an angry God. Because we have sinned and done wrong. Imagine. We talk about what God has done for us on the cross in Calvary. And it's made a way for us. And then we stand before that person, or that, or God, Jesus Christ, who gave His all, and then we reject it.
Yes.
Terrible. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, tells us, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Our God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 tells us this. Our God is a consuming fire. So what to me is, in wrapping this up, is we must have a fear that we reverence God. In doing that, it will keep us in length of days. It's good living for us. It gives us eternal life. It also will cause us to hate the things that God hates. It will cause us to grow in the Lord. We start taking off and putting on what God wants us to have and do in our lives. It will keep unity in the church. We'll be concerned about every person's things and what they have, what they're going through, the trials that they are facing. And it'll also keep us in the sense of the other kind of fear, where we don't want to go against what God has commanded us.
Right.
You know, a lot of times, you know, we don't drive faster than we should because we don't want the speeding ticket.
Come on.
Amen?
Right. Come on.
And there's things that we do because God tells us, church. And we love Him.
Yes.
And we don't want to go against Him.
Right.
And we know that God will judge what we do and we say. Amen?
Amen?
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. I close with this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Yeah.
You just put it all together. Put it in one bag. Fear God. keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Yes, right.
This is what we are to do, church. Fear God. Keep His commandments.
Yes.
This is what we are called to do. Amen. If you will do that, I believe you will have these things that I talked about this evening. You'll fear God. You'll, in a sense, you'll hate what He hates. You'll want to grow in Him. And this is just our duty that God has given to us. The conclusion of the whole matter, fear God.
Yes.
Keep His commandments. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. Let's stand this evening. Praise God. We serve a mighty God, church.
Right, amen.
Amen. He is concerned for His children.
Yes.
He is concerned for His children. Just as I gave that passage in Psalms. God cares for His children. Amen. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us this evening. Pray, God, that You just be with us, Lord. Help us, God, to fear You, Lord. God, help us to have that godly reverence for You, Lord. God, help us, Lord, to grow in You day by day. I pray, God, that we would hate the things that You hate, Lord. God, that we'd hate sin, love righteousness, Lord. God, help us, Lord, I pray, Father, that You would put us on that potter's wheel, Lord, and we would just, God, that we'd be formed and shaped, God, and we'd just be that vessel, Lord, that You would want us to be, Lord. Help us, God, to lay aside the weights of sin, God. God, and the things, Lord, that are hindering us, God, from going forward, Lord. I pray, God, that You just deal with each one of us, God. Help us, Lord. God, to make a way, Lord, instruct us on how to do this, Lord. Guide us, Lord, and lead us, God. I thank You, Jesus, for Your goodness. God, for Your mercy, Lord. Oh, God, and all that You have done for us, Lord. I just thank You for it, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Church, if there's something in your life that God's dealing with you that's it's become a hindrance, you will not get no farther until that is dealt with. You will not go any farther. It may be something small, it may be something big. And God can help you. God can help you. He can help you, instruct you, guide you on how to deal with it. It may not be something you can just do overnight. I don't know. But God can help you with that. But if you just turn your head and walk away with what God's trying to deal with you, that's as far as you'll go right there. You will stop spiritually. You'll not grow. God is going to keep taking each lump of out of your vessel. And He'll take it out. And He can't keep shaping and molding you until that lump's out. And He'll spin you some more. And He'll take another lump out. And He'll just keep shaping it. And we can be vessels of honor. Beautiful in the eyes of God. The world may despise it. And may hate it. And say, you're of no value. But to those that fear God, will be precious too. Amen? Praise God. Brother Woods and then we'll be heading back tomorrow after the funeral. And let's just be in prayer. Why don't we just have a word of prayer for them before we leave?